making what is for them a brief flight over to this airfield. What did they hit?
I dare say Leonard Cohen might be rolling over in his grave and not rock and rolling. Bill Hartung.
Well, you know, obviously it's obscene to worship weaponry, whoever it's targeted at. And on Raytheon's webpage, where they're advertising the cruise missile, they have exactly the same kind of pictures. So to have them on MSNBC and CNN is all the publicity money could buy and more. And, of course, this has happened before in wartime, and even in the first Persian Gulf War under Bush the Elder, where these kinds of displays have upped the images of these companies and almost made the weapons seem benign. There's all these things about how accurate they are and how they're going to hit civilians, which has been disproved almost uniformly in the history of U.S. intervention in the Middle East. So there's that. And also it's a question of how it's going to affect Trump's push for his military buildup, because he's going to sort of posture as the wartime president. You know, as Fareed Zakaria said, much to his detriment, he's now the president. He's proved he's the president because he can launch a military strike, which, again, to me, is not what this country should stand for.
Bill Hartung, thank you for being with us, director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy. That does it for our broadcast. I'll be in Cambridge, Massachusetts on April 24th and 25th, and moving on to Vermont, from Burlington to Montpelier, from Middlebury to Brattleboro. Check our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Dina Gesder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wilsler, Agata Dino, Sam Malkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood, Sharina Nadura, Andre Lewis. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
Spring has sprung. And to celebrate, the Sunday Street Acoustic Series at the Long Island Museum is bringing you Andrzej Dubko and Natalia Zukovic, Sunday, April 2nd. Andrzej has achieved recognition for his songs with awards from the Boston music scene and the Kerrville Folk Festival, leading to appearances at the Newport and Philadelphia Folk Festivals. Her latest album, Toward the Thunder, draws upon the talents of folk luminaries like Richard Schindel and Anais Mitchell to showcase her unforgettable voice and beautifully crafted songs. Of Natalia Zukerman, The New Yorker says that Natalia's voice could send an orchid into bloom, while her guitar playing can open a beer bottle with its teeth. The daughter of classical musicians Eugenia and Pinchas Zukerman, Natalia is proficient on slide guitar, lap steel, and dobro, putting those instruments to good use in her grasp of folk, jazz, and blues influences. Tickets, information, go to sundaystreet.org or buy tickets at the door the day of the show. The Long Island Museum is located at 1200 Route 25A in Stony Brook at the turn in the road. You can see it right there. Or find directions at longislandmuseum.org. That's Andrzej Dubko and Natalia Zukerman. Sunday, April 2nd, 5 p.m. Note, this is a late afternoon show. See you there.
Wants to be haunted. Is this what you wanted?
The following slab of art may contain words or phrases that could upset sensitive ears. If vulgarities like bish or fuck or big throbbing gitchany may offend, we invite you to turn the dial until the bish storm is over. Fuck you very much.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation pursues the long-term mission of educating the public, policymakers, and courts about the issues that arise when traditional expectations conflict with the new worlds created by computers and the Internet. The organization remains focused on civil liberties in cyberspace and continues to engage in litigation, advocacy, writing, public speaking, providing legal assistance, and maintaining an extensive archive of current and historical online civil liberties information. The Electronic Frontier Foundation website may be found at www.eff.org.
If a disaster struck right now, what would you and your family do first? Would your kids know what to do? How would you get in touch with them if you're separated and your cell phone isn't working? Don't wait until a disaster strikes to figure it out. It's your responsibility to make a plan for you and your family ahead of time. To learn how, take our readiness challenge at nyc.gov/readynewyork or call 311 for information. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Hey, kid. over here, inside your radio. Name's Ralph. I'm an energy hog. Hey, if you're going to waste energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, that's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
Okay, is that enough public service, everybody? Hope so. Everybody's well informed. Good. It's WUSB Stony Brook, 4 minutes after 6 o'clock time. For Off the Wall.
This is Ellis Paul, and you're listening to the commercial-free airwaves of 90.1 FM WUSP Stony Brook.
And a very, very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein over here and Kyle over there.
Yep, I'm here.
A bit of a frantic race into the studio today, as we were a little bit late, but
yes.
We got everything under control. And it's warm outside. I think that sort of added to us just getting distracted by various other things. But we're here now. We're here now, and we're here until 7. And we have all kinds of important things to talk about. And you, listener, you have an important thing to do.
You could say it's the most important thing.
Well, it's the thing that allows us to do the other things, which is basically supporting the radio station, something that nearly everybody here at the radio station has already done themselves. And we hope that you take a moment and call 631-632-6901 and support the radio station. You know, if one person calls and pledges $50, our work will be done.
Yeah, just one, but we like others. We welcome all of them at any level, whatever spare expenses you can avoid paying and divert those funds to the station. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That's really crucial. We're volunteers, and this is community radio, and that's how it works.
Exactly. It's community radio. It's also campus radio. It's alternative radio. It's awesome radio. It's amazing radio. It really is.
Free form.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We talk about all kinds of interesting issues. We play all kinds of amazing music. We do things that others dare not do. And we make history here. We have been making history now for 40 years. This is our 40th year. 1977 we went on the air.
Still getting it right.
Still trying to get it right. Yeah, we're trying to figure it all out. But we have, you know, new equipment now. We have a new board right here.
Amazing resources.
You know, actually, it's not a new board. For us, it's a new board.
New old board.
This board has been around. What's it called? It's called a
radio.
You can tell
systems
people. Oh, they put the word
millennium
systems over the word radio, so you can't read the word radio.
It's in the background.
It's just R, and then you see the word systems over it. So yeah, radio. Okay. Radio Systems Millennium. So that tells me this was made around the millennium. Maybe not. Maybe before then, too. It's nice. It's got wood paneling, which I love. Big buttons that light up. That's kind of cool. Compared to our old board, which Kibrit is turning into a museum piece, which I think is awesome, we have experienced a vast improvement here. This may be old equipment to some. This may be something that some commercial station was throwing in the dumpster. To us, it's incredible. It's what we needed, and it works. And we're going to demonstrate it, too. We'll be going into delay in just a little bit, taking some phone calls, on-air phone calls, and you'll see the difference, how much easier it is to work with than it was in the past. In the past, we had to deal with patch cords and switches that didn't work. Half the time, it didn't work. And the other half of the time, it did work, but it didn't work right. I don't think we ever got it to work perfectly, ever. Not once.
Well, it had its own quirks. And
it's a nice way of saying it, Kyle.
A certain warmth.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a different warmth. It's all... something that we're getting used to. We're training actively and getting better and better at using this particular console. But what it allows us to do is truly amazing. And it really just expedites the ability of our voices and other people's voices to be out there discussing the day and the world's events and issues that are crucial, that the consciousness, the community here on Long Island and around the world depends on. Mm-hmm. And that only happens when you contribute to our wonderful station. You can become a member. There's a myriad of thank you gifts and ways that that helps us. And this is one immediate way that you can participate directly in the future of this great resource.
631-632-6901 is the phone number to call. And remember, just it takes one or two calls. One person calling in, pledging $50, and I'll shut up for the rest of the hour about this. How about that? That's a good deal for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to make a big deal of it. Of course we will, and we're absolutely serious. But it's nice when we have that going on in the background. We know that you're out there. We know you're calling, and we can actually have our discussions. You know, yeah. While that's going on, we will intermittently stop and share with you. And maybe even thank some people, but it's nice to just have that going on, just kind of low key in the background.
It's also kind of like a test so that we know the signal is working. Remember that 2.5 weeks? Sorry, that's my phone telling me that Donald Trump just said something. That 2.5 weeks where we weren't on the air at all, and we were just broadcasting to the production room next door, and we were wondering why nobody was calling. Well, when we figured that out, we realized how valuable our listeners are. And that's when they started calling again and telling us to either stop doing what we're doing or to continue or do something different. Or, you know, we listen to what our listeners say. When they're not there, we notice and we feel it.
Yeah, it's important. We don't just leave you with our advertisers in their care, so to speak. We are directly interested in your opinions and your thoughts, your response to programming, but also just to the incredible work that people do here. It's important to us. It matters. And this is a great way to express how you feel about it.
And also, you don't just get that satisfaction. The satisfaction is amazing. It's an awesome feeling to know that you're contributing and you're a part of this place. But you also will get things if you contribute as our thank yous. If you become a WSBI, that's what we call people who pledge $90.10, you get a membership to the 90.1 Club. And that gets you a 40th anniversary sweatshirt or T-shirt and a hat or mug. There's a lot of ors and ands here. You know, I'm not really sure what you get, but you get a lot of this. We have a 40th anniversary sweatshirt, T-shirt, hat and mug, CDs, various things like that. Talk to the friendly volunteer who picks up 631-632-6901 and you'll get all kinds of cool things. And remember, it's our 40th anniversary, so this is the only, I believe, the only year we'll be doing that. And that's the only time you can get the 40th anniversary sweatshirt or T-shirt.
Which I've heard have an incredible design, look quite fashionable. It'll keep your WSB garb updated. And don't worry, our friendly volunteers will help you, will walk you through, rather, that process as far as what you can get at that level and what your options are. So fear not, they are there to help operators standing by.
Again, our phone number is 631-632-6901. Hey, Kyle, you ready for the big game tomorrow?
Dortmund?
No, we're way past Dortmund.
Okay.
We are in the quarterfinals now of the Champions League.
Oh, right, yes.
This is our third year following the same basic tournament. It started with the 10th Division team and the FA Cup. We followed the team that went on to the Europa League as a result of the FA Cup championship, and then we followed the team that won the Europa League the following year into the Champions League. And up until now, it was Sevilla, the same team. We followed them all the way up until the round of 16 when they were eliminated by the princess team Leicester City. Yes, back to England we are. And Leicester City now is the team that we will be following and rooting for and hoping that they make it to the final and become the best football team ever. It's interesting, too, because Leicester City, the whole reason they got into this in the first place. They won the Premier League in England for the first time ever. They were founded in 1884, and they won the Premier League in 2016, last year. And that's what got them into the Champions League, which is where they are now. And they continue this Cinderella story.
Those are great stories. Those are the kind of cool parts of these series to follow. You get these incredible storied histories.
A number of newspapers, according to Wikipedia, described their title win as the greatest sporting upset ever, considering that at the start of their season, they were favorites to face relegation, just as they had the prior season. What that means is, in England and in many countries, the bottom three teams of the division wind up going down to the lower division. And it's not like East or West. It's like, best and okay and not too good and terrible. they don't really describe them that way, but the lower divisions are not as good as the upper divisions. We said we started with a 10th division team. That's because we started at the very beginning and worked our way up. Leicester City was in the Premier League, and they faced relegation down to the league below that. But they did not they were not relegated. In fact, they won the championship, and as a result of winning the championship, they wound up competing in the Champions League. And tomorrow they wind up playing. I want to get this right. I'm pretty sure it's Atletico Madrid.
Interesting. Yeah, you know better than I. I've been admittedly way behind on the details.
It's Atletico Madrid. They play in the first leg of the quarterfinals. First leg meaning they play one game at one field, and then they play a second game a week later at the other field, and they add up the scores, and then the winner goes on to the semifinals. So Atletico Madrid is playing Leicester City. The other three games, Borussia Dortmund, as Kyle was mentioning before,
yes,
playing Monaco. Monaco is a country, yes, but this particular Monaco happens to be in the French League because, the reason is simple. When you're a good team in Monaco, there aren't really a whole lot of other teams to play in Monaco, so they had to really go with a country that had more teams. So that's why Monaco is in the French League. Then you have Bayern Munich playing Real Madrid. It's looking like it could be yet a third final between Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid if it goes a particular way.
Mm.
That happened last year. It happened a couple of years ago. Yes. And in each case, Real Madrid has won. And then the final game, Juventus versus Barcelona. So you have three Spanish teams there in the quarterfinals. But the one we'll be focusing on, Leicester City versus Atletico Madrid. We hope Leicester City will continue with this amazing Cinderella story. There's no other way to say it, I guess. Can you imagine if they become the finalist or the absolute champions? And there's nowhere for us to go after that, I don't think. There's no, they qualify for the Champions League, I think, next year as well. But we're going to pretty much stop doing this at that point because 3 years of this is really kind of crazy. We started just basically to show how intricate and interesting these kinds of competitions are and how they never seem to stop. It really has been going for quite a long time. We have a 90.1 pledge from a listener out in Mastic. Mastic, that's out east.
Okay. All right. Wow. Keep those calls coming in, everyone.
Thank you, Joe, for that generous call. And if you would like to join Joe and be an awesome USB contributor, please call 631-632-6901. But I'm going to keep my promise. I said, $50, and we almost doubled that. Let's move on to some other items. Anything you'd like to bring up, Kyle? Anything happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, then, nothing in particular, per se. But I regret, as I said, I haven't been following sports as much.
Don't regret that. That's nothing to regret. Yeah, that's something to celebrate.
No, well, if it wasn't for this show, I don't think I would be as updated. But I'm more or less following as everyone else is a lot of these various developments. There was an attack in Germany.
Yes.
On the Dortmund team.
Wait, whoa, what?
Oh, you didn't hear about it?
No, I didn't hear about this.
So Dortmund had a bomb blast, and one of their players was injured.
Wait a minute, Dortmund had a bomb blast?
Near their bus or on their bus, and it sent one of the players to the hospital, I guess not with serious injuries, but Yeah, there were several explosions in Germany today. And
I didn't check the news today. You don't check the news, you miss all today's explosions. All right, hang on, I'm looking into this.
Well, it's weird because there's, of course, been all kinds of talk, mostly taking away from some of the domestic investigations with regard to strikes in Syria and strategies in various parts of the world. And this actually happened. This is an attack in Germany that just occurred today.
Okay, I have an update. Yeah, three explosions rocked the... Let me go on about these games. I didn't even know this was affecting them. Three explosions rocked the Borussia Dortmund team bus as it was driving to their home stadium for today's Champions League match, injuring defender Mark Bartra, causing the game to be postponed. Wow, this is unprecedented. I'm only just learning about this right now. Wow, that's something. I wasn't
trying to make a joke earlier, but it was in the news.
That's the game against Monaco. Okay,
I guess I was making a stupid joke.
Well, it's been postponed until tomorrow, so not postponed that much. But,
no one was seriously injured, as far as I heard. I don't know if that's changed.
Police spokesman says initial findings make police believe that there was an attack with serious explosives. Those explosives might have been hidden in a hedge near a parking lot. Wow. Okay, that's something.
So a lot of these events now are soft targets and so on to create a spectacle around what is a tense security situation around the world. And I think everyone's sort of taking note, especially since late last week, the U.S. Attacked an airbase directly, which is, you know, kind of the first provocation for this administration, which every president does. I know a lot of people are saying that, and
you have to bomb something, Kyle.
Right.
That's just the rules of the game. Every president has to bomb something and bomb something soon.
Yeah, I don't want to get into right or wrong necessarily yet. I mean, we were having such a good show. So I,
yeah, just talking about football teams being bombed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it was an interesting segue.
By the way, they say a claim of responsibility was found near the crime scene, and that authenticity is currently being attested. So I guess we'll learn more. Turn on Euronews or something if you want to find out what's going on.
Right.
This isn't even in the headlines on Google News, so right. You have to really search for it here. But wow, that's something. But getting back to what you were talking about, yes. We sent, and yes, it's we, because it's our government doing this, so we might as well be standing on the front lines. We sent...
Our taxpayer dollars.
That's right, exactly. You paid for this. 49 Tomahawk missiles? Was it 49?
It was 59.
59. See, I lost 10 Tomahawk missiles.
$1.4 million each.
Wow. So. And, you know, think of all the programs that were cut that even a single Tomahawk missile...
I think you said it
saved.
When you heard the cost, you know, how much it would $90 million have done for refugees.
Exactly, yes.
Which I thought was an astute observation,
and
right?
I love how the media is focusing on these Syrian citizens who are supporting Donald Trump because he bombed their enemy. And, you know, it's a very easy thing to get somebody to say, yes, I'll name my firstborn Donald now. And this is what we, you know, we don't want to be refugees. We want to be victorious against the evil Assad. You know, this is why you don't talk to the people who are victims of a horrible crime when you're talking about sentencing somebody for a horrible crime. They're going to be extremely biased and emotional, and the results aren't really going to be very even. You will get people that say things like this. But when you look at what actually has happened, did it make much sense? A few days earlier, Donald Trump said, you know, this is not our fight. It's not something we want to get involved in. Then he sees some pictures of kids being brutalized by a gas attack, and all of a sudden, that's all it takes for him to send missiles over. Well, we know now how easily he can be manipulated, and they're certainly possible for other people to come up with photos and videos that will get him to do other things as well.
In no uncertain terms, this is the scariest, not scariest, but I would say most alarming part of this, that the unpredictability, and that we're tailoring our we have evidence tailored to the hyperbole around it. Like you said, finding victims, people who are obviously going to have... they played this guy who was thanking everyone, thanking Trump for doing this, Syrian. They kept playing that over and over
again. You saw that
his
too.
Interview.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the guy you're talking about.
There's probably more than one Syrian doing this. But
they had talked to him at one point, and then the cable news network was following up. But it was just such a rah-rah, which obviously this guy's been directly affected. Of course he is going to be... thanking Trump. So the framing is dubious for this on all sides.
Yeah, you know, your baby falls in the well, okay? Then all of a sudden, everyone is asking you what you think of well rescue technology, and you're saying, yeah, you know what? I want to spend $1 million on this, whereas somebody else that lives 100 miles away who has no baby and has no well is going to say something completely different. But they keep asking you, because you were affected by the story, it's going to be a little bit skewed, you know? People are going to be saying things that obviously affect them. I'm not trying to minimize at all what has happened to these people. Obviously, something needs to be done about this. But is this the right movement to make? And also, you know, I have other questions, too, that no one seems to want to answer. Yeah, we all know that, you know, Assad is a lying sack of stuff. And he's an evil person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yada, yada, yada. All that.
A tyrant, whatever.
Fine. He's a tyrant. But... here's my question. We saw this video last week of the gas attack, and the Russians and the Syrian government are saying that this was caused by bombing a building that was storing gas, and it leaked out and killed all these people.
Right.
All right, and everyone is saying, "Oh, you're lying. You know, it's that's not what happened." Okay, you know, and I want to believe that. Well, I don't want to believe it, but I'm willing to believe that. What is the evidence that that did not happen? And the only answer I can ever seem to get to that question is that Assad is a liar and a tyrant. It's like, okay, you know, we already know that. But what is the evidence that that this bombing raid, which everybody agrees happened, didn't hit a building where somebody or some entity was storing poison gas, and that's how the gas leaked out? What is the evidence that that did not happen? And, you know, if you ask a second time, then you get accused of being an Assad apologist. But you don't get an answer to the question. And I just want an answer to that question, because that way I can say, all right, now we know there's irrefutable evidence. But just relying on your emotions for that, that's not enough. You know, no matter how strongly you believe in it, you need that evidence. And, you know, the best answer I've seen so far is that forensics experts are able to tell if gas came from inside a building or outside a building based on markings or
who's affected,
the autopsies of victims or things like that.
People outside are affected or people inside.
And that makes sense, but that only makes sense for the one building where the gas was in.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for all the other buildings, because it's still going to be coming from outside to them. If it's a neighboring building or if it's an airplane, the gas is still going to be coming from outside the building. So, okay, what is the evidence? Just please, somebody, anywhere,
well,
show us the evidence for that. That way we can all at least say, all right, this guy is evil incarnate, and then we can debate the best way to handle it. I don't think what Trump did is the right thing to do. I think it's based on emotion. I think it's leading to a much more complicated situation that he's going to have a hell of a time getting out of. But it would be nice if we could all agree that, you know, who the enemy is. And I just don't see us making big strides in that direction.
I guess I'm confused. Well, initially it was said that chlorine gas was used, but it was then verified that these victims were succumbing to sarin, which I don't think you can necessarily make. Or that militants, rebels, as they were, I don't think that they're being accused of making sarin, and that's one of the things. The other thing is I'll admit this, the U.S. military is being very coy, keeping their sources and methods for what they actually observed of the planes that attacked these civilians last week. They're not really talking about how or what they saw, but they're... insofar as what they said today during the press conference, they're 100% certain that these Syrian planes were the ones that carried out the strike. Now, I don't know if there's any further details about sarin, or I've never heard that being used by terrorists or being manufactured by terrorist organizations.
Someone has to make it, right? If they're going to use it, someone's making it.
But that was my impression, that it's a little bit more complex than chlorine, but I don't know.
And if someone's making it, they have to be storing it someplace. And I thought, you know, all the chemical weapons had been dispensed with in Syria. I thought that was something that was agreed upon. Now, all of a sudden, there are more of them.
That's why Assad is claimed, famed as a liar, or framed as a liar in this discussion.
And it must be possible to find out where this material is being stored and then deal with that.
Supposedly in depots below the base. I mean, that's what a military base would do, is maybe store them and then have them be accessible to the planes that would be delivering them.
Well, then you better be careful bombing that base, because if you destroy that, then it leaks into the atmosphere and then you have the scenario all over again.
But no civilians.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know exactly where they're storing it.
I don't know.
How many civilians are around.
I'm not a military strategist.
But speaking of press conferences, I don't know if you caught today's press conference with one Sean Spicer.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess you did. Okay. He claimed during this particular press conference that a certain Adolf Hitler, even Hitler did not sink to the level of warfare of using chemical weapons. You know, I don't know if Sean Spicer is familiar with gas chambers.
Zyklon B.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of their thing. It was kind of what they did. And then he was given a chance to clarify his comment, which he happened to make during Passover. Wow, you couldn't script this better. Spicer then said, I can't even read this. This is just so horrible. He said Hitler took Jews into the Holocaust Center, but that Hitler was not using the gas on his own people in the same way that Assad is doing. Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. Hitler did not use the gas on blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aryans. All right, that's, give him a point for that. But he sure as hell used them on everybody else in the concentration camps, Sean, not Holocaust centers. It's not a damn museum, you know, for God's sake. How do you stand up in front of people and utter crap like this? And not realize what you're doing immediately. We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, we had, someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. So you have to, if you're Russia, ask yourself, is this a country that you and a regime that you want to align yourself with? You have previously signed onto international agreements, rightfully acknowledging that the use of chemical weapons should be out of bounds by every country. It's you know, if there aren't ramifications for this, for this obvious ignorance of history and insensitivity, then we might as well just have a free-for-all. There's no ramifications for anything. This is a horrible thing, what he said, a horrible way of minimizing one of the darkest periods of world history. And to say this to Russia, too. Russia lost so many people to the Nazis, a lot more than we did. It's just so highly offensive, I can't even put it into words. Before the briefing was even over, White House press aides had realized the magnitude of his mistake and were working on a response to clarify it. And shortly after he stepped away from the lectern, he's put out a statement trying to explain what he meant. You know, something happened backstage. You've got to fix this now. In no way was I trying to lessen the horrendous nature of the Holocaust, he said in a statement. I was trying to draw a distinction of the tactic of using airplanes to drop chemical weapons on population centers. Any attack on innocent people is reprehensible and inexcusable. As if airplanes are the key here. You know, putting people, rounding them up into gas chambers. Okay, at least you didn't use airplanes. Thank God. Thank God Hitler didn't do that. But, yeah, that's bad, too.
So, yes, you need to take some of the pictures from the gas attack and make them one color and do, like, cyanotypes. You know, so they're just all blue.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Hey. So short-sighted.
let's do our delay thing, because we want to demonstrate how easy it is to work with now. And I've only done this once before. I'm going to try and do it this time and get it right. We're going to play an ID, and then we will immediately pop up in delay. And hopefully there won't be any any grievous errors. I don't think there will be, though. I think I have all the right things up. And I'm going to hit this button, and then we're going to show up a few seconds later in delay, and then we'll be able to take some phone calls. Let us give it a try. Here we are in delay, and I'm watching the meters now to see if... Oh, you know what? Okay, I did mess it up because for some reason I pressed the off button on the ID. So you didn't hear the ID, but you are hearing us. And Kyle, too. Kyle is there. All right. Yeah, he made it. I'm sorry about... Okay, every week I get a little bit better at this, but it was my fault. I didn't have the button pressed, but I know what I did wrong, and I knew it as I was doing it.
I got stuck.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But now we can take phone calls. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872, and we can see how well that works, if you have anything to say. One other thing, though, concerning the Trump administration, we've mentioned these people before. Local people, the Mercers, the people who live right here in the Three Village area. Do you know, when Steve Bannon was basically kicked off the National Security Council...
Which he was.
This week, yes. Yeah. He was about ready to quit. He was about ready to quit completely, walk out of the White House, and not look back.
He had it.
Conservative donor Rebecca Mercer.
She swooped in?
She played a key role in persuading Steve Bannon to not resign as one of President Donald Trump's top White House advisors. Rebecca Mercer, the daughter of Long Island billionaire Robert Mercer, who live within the sound of our voice. If we open the window and shout, they can hear us. That's how close they are.
Boo.
She urged Bannon to remain in his post as White House chief strategist despite his growing frustration over infighting in the fledgling administration, of which he plays a big part.
You can do it, big guy.
Who knows what she said?
what was that like? A little pep talk from the billionaire?
Mercer recruited Bannon to join Trump's campaign last summer. She prevailed upon him to stay, and a GOP operative who speaks frequently to the 43-year-old Mercer told the outlet that Becca, because they're on a first-name basis,
Becca
tried to convince him that this is a long-term play. Now, Rebecca Mercer and her father, Robert, 70 years old, the CEO of Renaissance Technologies, that's that place up the hill in Route 25A. You go up the hill on your way to Stop and Shop, and you make a right turn halfway up, and there it is. And we don't know what goes on back there. It's like one of these evil places that the science fiction shows talk about. What's the show with the Upside Down universe or whatever?
Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's like that place.
Yes.
And things go crazy in there. Nobody knows what goes on. But anyway, he's the CEO of that place, East Setauket-based hedge fund. They've been credited with reshaping Trump's presidential campaign back to last summer. The family owns a stake in Breitbart News, and they recruited Bannon to lead Trump's campaign team. Can you believe it? It's a half mile away from here all this is happening.
So you're telling me the whole strategy, the whole, Bannon side of the political drawing, design, I guess, I don't know, tactics... That manifested here on Long Island through connections?
I'm telling you, that manifested here in the Three Village area. That manifested within a stone's throw of Stony Brook University. I know, because they're throwing stones at us. Yeah, they do that sometimes when they get bored.
Mm-mm-mm.
Good slingshot. But yeah, it's that close. And I don't understand that. You know, we keep running into this where all these things are happening right next to us when the country is so big and huge. Why isn't it happening in other places? But it's all, you know, we're driving down a road and the road's closed because Donald Trump happens to be at a house on that road. Stay away. Stay out of our hair. You know, at least let us criticize you from a distance.
Right. Well, you have to understand that the New York connection has been really deep. And I mean, you have to admit that it's been really deep in this campaign. Not just, well, starting from Trump being a Manhattan resident and that being his sort of environment, his habitat. Well, look at all the connections. I never would have thought. I mean, I would have imagined a little bit, but it is really a lot bigger, a network of people in state that are basically in a position to pull levers in Washington now, or being made to being given the impression, certainly, but they think they have control.
I can handle New York City, because a lot of people are in New York City, and
right.
Trump Tower, fine, that's his headquarters. But when it gets to East Setauket, when it gets to Head of the Harbor, when it gets to Old Field, these places that are right next to us, why? Why not at least in the Hamptons or something a little further away or Nassau County? But why right here? It just feels like it's personal.
But there can be ignorant people everywhere.
I'm
not saying
true.
These people are necessarily ignorant, but think of
they're
all
not
that.
Ignorant. No, they're not. They're powerful. They're
right,
so
right,
powerful. They're
right.
they're I mean, I don't know if we're getting them so angry that they're becoming all the more calculating and doing things just to spite us. It's beginning to feel that way.
Well, yes, try as they might.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that we're going to be tested, I think. And I think it's time to, put pressure on your neighbors where you can, because you never know what people are aligning themselves with, and the kinds of crazy beliefs they have. I think that's been the most surprising thing with a lot of the unverifiable and just straight wrong, false news and so on. I mean, you can be incredibly powerful and believe all kinds of crazy things, and vice versa. You don't necessarily have to be powerful and be taken by just an idea that someone has that's been more or less weaponized to control your political leanings and so on, and how you act.
Folks, I do want to remind you that we are in delay, and we're in delay because we're waiting for your phone calls to come in, and they're not coming in. I'm not sure why that is. 631-632-9872. We're not asking you for money on that line. We're just asking for your opinion, and we'd like to hear from you. Give a call, 631-632-9872. Give us your opinion on anything that's happening or the things that we're talking about. We have other things to talk about as well. And, of course, if you want to make a pledge to WUSB, you can do that as well at 631-632-6901. But we do have the phone lines open right now, and we are in delay. And it's very stressful to be in delay. You know, what we're saying right now, we said 7 seconds ago, but it sounds pretty good. I keep going back and forth to make sure that we still sound okay. Much better than the old system. And we want to make sure it sounds good to you as well. You know, we're learning all these things. 631-632-9872. Please give a call. Be on the air and spout your opinion on various things. You could change the world.
Yeah, you could change someone's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You could challenge our opinions.
Can they do that? Yeah, I guess you could do that. Sure.
They're welcome to.
Why not? Yes.
Yeah. Maybe just share something we could learn and benefit from. I say we as a guest here, but also your fellow listeners might find what you have to say enlightening or not, and call to rebut your statement. But that's what this is. This is Freeform Radio. We're here. We're trying things out, talking about some of the news, some of our experiences in life, and we would like to provide this platform for you to share what you have as well.
Yes, don't be afraid. Okay, well, I see a call coming in. The only thing, I have to be afraid of hitting the wrong button, so let's make sure that I get this right. I'm going to hit that button there, and I think we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Cool. Where are you calling from?
This is Joe from Mastic.
This is the same Joe from Mastic who pledged $90.1 to us?
I hope I'm not the only person listening.
I don't know. Maybe you are, but, you know, it's still worth it. What's on your mind? First of all, Joe, thank you so much for your contribution. People like you make this place possible.
I'm calling for a thank you. You guys, I really enjoy your show. You sound so lonely. I thought I'd better give you a call.
It is lonely. We are very lonely here. In fact, people here don't even talk to us.
I think the new studio needs some posters. It needs a little bit, of that old station character. I'm not saying that the new digs are a bad thing in the least. They're awesome, but we need a little bit more that homey feel.
Well,
you know?
We're still in the temporary studio.
Uh, it's too sterile over there for you?
Yeah, it gets a bit lonely.
It's clean.
It's very antiseptic, and we need that grime, a little bit of that station grime.
Yeah, we're not used to clean. But Kyle, let me tell you, this is the temporary studio. We're in a closet now. It's going to be a much bigger studio when we get around to finishing it, which we're doing.
You know what I'm saying, though. You tend to feel like you're really talking to a community when it's less homogenous.
Yes.
You know, when you've got postings and notices and things. But anyway, now that you're joining us, what's on your mind, Joe?
Well, one just quick thing is keep traveling. Those are my favorite shows.
Oh, we're working on it. We definitely would like to get back out there for sure.
Trying to get rid of us, huh, Joe? Okay. Hit the road.
He's probably not alone. We want to be out there, too. We would like to be on more modes of transportation.
Yes.
And,
you're a far-flung correspondent.
Where do you think we should go next?
Oh, just any place where there's a lot of... social help, that people are helping each other and stuff there, together in life and not just separated, and someplace that has good public transportation. So I guess that's probably Northern Europe, I guess.
Yeah, there's Northern Europe. We could do that. I like going places where it's very remote sometimes, too, where you don't have any of the conveniences, and seeing how people handle things there as well. You learn a lot about humans that way.
Well, Greenland might be the place then.
Greenland, we were talking about that. We're talking about Labrador and all kinds of interesting places. We were just following, because we watch Canadian TV a lot, we were following this cooking show, Kyle. What's her name again?
Rebecca Vivi.
Yeah, another Rebecca. Rebecca Vivi. Look her up. She's this woman up in Iqaluit, which I've been to once in Nunavut. And she has a cooking show that airs on Aborigine People's Television Network. And it's just so awesome because she's making food out of things that are easy to get up there, but still very expensive. Remember, you can't grow things. But she's got this wicked sense of humor and just this kind of steadfastness, which I find really admirable.
Yeah, and they're really incredible. They do different things to increase their production values. Of course, it's low budget, but very, very well done. So she's got cooking shows where she's outside and all of these kinds of things. But it's really cool to learn the language around something as simple as preparing a meal and so on.
So people like that are cool to look up, and you find them all over the world. And you can look up Rebecca Vivi, V-E-E-V-E is how you spell her last name, and she's on YouTube. You can find the show there. So that's, Joe, that's one example of a place like to see.
No, we did look around. We're very interested in Greenland specifically.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on as far as the climate changing, but we've definitely looked around there done virtual tours with Google Earth and so on.
Joe, before you go, tell us something cool about Mastic.
It's very blue collar.
Uh huh.
It's not, no one sort of has their nose up in the air about living in Mastic.
Okay.
All right. Good to know.
My immediate neighbors are really great. And it's just a real kind of down to earth kind of place that, like I said, I would describe it as blue collar. I just very much enjoy living here.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've heard good things about Mastic. I've heard, you know, every community on Long Island is different in some ways, and Mastic is a little bit out east. Go ahead.
I don't mean to jump in on you, but the great thing about Mastic is the school district.
Okay.
For a blue-collar school district, the music and arts department is incredible.
Is it? Really? Wow, no, that's fantastic. Is it? Something that there's just a lot of theaters and so on there, or what would you say?
I think the music and art department in the school, you have kids who, you know, you have a lot of kids whose parents didn't go to college or weren't really exposed to classical music and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, they're very open to it.
Wow, so
and
they really excel. Okay.
They're very supportive of it, too, you know, so that's great.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay, well, we've learned something about Mastic, and that's a little bit out east. It's near Shirley, I believe.
Is it on the water?
That's right. I guess you'd have to travel straight south,
mm-hmm.
and then make a left, and about, I guess, four or five towns over.
Okay.
Okay, and Mastic Beach, is that part of Mastic? Mastic Beach is a part of Mastic, or is that a separate community? I know they were independent for a little while.
Oh, they're coming back. Uh-huh. Isn't it funny how all these places want to be separate from each other?
Yeah, they had their Brexit a couple of years ago, and it didn't quite work out.
A little mini Brexit.
Yeah, mini Brexit out east. Well, Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks so much for your contribution to the radio station.
Thanks for listening, too.
We hope you keep listening and stay tuned to WUSB.
Hey, guys, thanks a million.
All right, take care.
Cheers.
And didn't that call sound good, too?
He's got a great reception.
He has good, and we have a good phone here.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really kind of cool. Okay, now I'm going to try and get out of delay. So let's see if that works properly. It's easier than getting into delay, as we have learned from the past. I just have to hit a couple of buttons, and we will see you in a moment. Yeah, come on, get out. Okay, there I am, live now. And Kyle, you're back live.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool. It's a piece of cake now with the new system. I wanted to get into one thing really quickly before we left because we're almost out of time. That the United thing, the guy getting kicked off the airplane. Oh my goodness! Like clockwork, it's coming out now. This guy had problems. This guy had lost his medical license because of some drug issue in the past. You know, the media has to do this. They have to assassinate somebody's character after something controversial happens to them. In case you didn't hear, this guy was flying home from Chicago to a flight from Chicago to Kentucky on United Airlines, and United Airlines, they screwed up. They needed to seat four of their own employees. People were already on the airplane, and these four people show up and say, "Hey, we need seats," or whatever. And their way of dealing with this is to kick four people off who are already in their seats, who have already paid for their seats. And since nobody really wanted to be inconvenienced that much, even with the $800 prize that they get for doing this, they started to basically volunteer people against their wishes. And when they got to this guy said, "No, I need to be home." And when he refused to get off the plane, they got cops to physically drag him off and bloody his face. It was disgusting. It was one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen happen on an airplane. And, of course, people were taping this with their phones. And then the CEO of the company basically blames him and says that he was being belligerent and the employees acted fine. I cannot believe that these two things happened. First of all, that action happened, and that they actually tried to defend this type of thing. I imagine they're backpedaling now, but the damage has been done. I will never fly United again until they either replace everybody there or just completely change their attitude. So today, the media is saying that this doctor had lost his license in the past due to some issues with drugs, or who knows. Thing is, it doesn't matter if he is a convicted felon. He's a human being, and you don't treat people that way. And plus, he had gotten his license back. He was doing fine. There was absolutely no reason to go back into his past and try to dig up demons. How about the guy who dragged him off the plane? How about that cop?
Yes.
We don't even know his damn name. They won't tell us his name. He has been suspended because he acted improperly, but we don't know about his demons. We don't know about his past. We don't even know his name. So, media, stop this. This is not fair. The guy was a victim of terrible actions. He deserves to be handsomely compensated. And everybody who is a part of this, everybody who defends this, needs to go. And that's if United itself doesn't need to go at this point.
No, it speaks to the indignity of flying these days. It has gotten so incredibly humiliating and just it's disgusting. Like, the whole process is about control. And I heard people, like pundits, whatever, commentators on the news, basically talking about how your constitutional rights are suspended, you know, when you get on to federal transportation. And it's just, it really is no excuse. You really shouldn't treat people this way. You shouldn't treat paying customers this way.
No, this is a guy in his seat. He's already in his damn seat. And they come and say, "No, you have to go because some random formula says that you can go and everybody else doesn't have to." If I had been on that plane, if that happened to me, I'd be a lot more belligerent, for one thing. I think most of us would be. But witnessing this, I would have intervened in some way. Probably would have gotten into more trouble than
people
than
did shout. People were shouting, but they were not actually intervening. They weren't really getting in the cop's
face. But would
face.
You have wanted to even be on that plane at that point? I would have gotten up and said, "Hey, take my seat. I don't ever want to ride in this thing again."
Right. You know?
It's just so disgusting.
people could have, as you said, come to his aid by offering and saying, you know what, I'm not in so much of a hurry that I need to witness this. But you know what? People are out for themselves. They're distracted by their personal devices and reading their books and ignoring everyone around them. So this is what happens when you sit idly by. So don't.
Yeah. Stand up for your rights. Don't let this downward trend affect you.
But you're saying United. I'm saying flying in general.
Yeah, flying
it's
in general.
It's just ridiculous. Well, it's gotten too bad. I'm sorry.
Again, like every airline can do this. And yeah, that's a valid point. They all overbook. They all have these practices.
I'm sorry.
But never before has this happened that I know of. And that's why we're focusing on this case. If other airlines treat people this way, then they will be condemned as well. But right now, United needs to pay the price.
Yeah, and the business model allowing this, and just because you say you have rights to do this, and this being part of your business practice, on a certain level, the normalizing of it, watching this person do this to another human being and drag them out like they're pushing a cart down the aisle, and this is a regular course of business, it is unacceptable, inexcusable, and horrendous.
Okay, we are out of time. Again, 631-632-6901 is the pledge line. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn. He'll be up next, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
We'll be right back. part fundraiser. We have Jason Faulkner, who just did a beautiful record with R. Stevie Moore, the king of the indies. He's going to be on with us in just a few moments. And then we're going to, let's see, offer some pledges of the new Flaming Lips and the new Bob Dylan. So stay tuned.
I hate people.
Yeah, that's our Stevie Moore. And Jason Faulkner from the new release, brand new, Make It Be. It is spectacular, getting killer reviews. I have the vinyl version myself. It's a fantastic, beautiful thing. So Jason's going to be on in just a few moments. We'll talk about Jason. We'll talk about Jason's stuff. And we'll talk about Stevie, and who's been on the show before years ago. And it's great to talk to Jason for the first time tonight. And tonight's premium is going to be for $15 in this first hour. I have two copies of our Stevie Moore and Jason Faulkner's new CD, Make It Be. So before or after the interview, you can give us a call at 631-632-6901. $15 credit card pledge to WUSB Stony Brook gets you a copy of that CD. But meanwhile, hey, you know, let's hear, let's see what we're going to hear. Let's hear another gem from the new record. This is called I Love Us, We Love Me. Right here from R. Stevie Moore and Jason Faulkner. Jason Faulkner on the air in a few minutes.